Highs in the mid-90s this afternoon. That's the temperature. Heat index up in the triple digits. And we've got a heat advisory in effect from noon to 8 p.m. today. Expect a similar story tomorrow with high temperatures getting close to 100 and the heat index way in the triple digit. It is going to be a very hot week all week long in the Triangle, so be careful. 6:07 right now. Let's catch you up on local news as we begin the hour. We begin with crime news. Chapel Hill police are still investigating after a fatal shooting in the Pine Knolls neighborhood on Friday morning. We reported this briefly on Friday. We have more details now. 50-year-old Ezard Charles Shroud Jr. was found dead in his home on Creel Street. Police say they don't believe there's an active threat to the community, but no arrests have been made yet. If you have information, call 911 or contact Chapel Hill Police. You can also leave anonymous tips with Crime Stoppers at 919-942-7515. In Hillsboro, one man is in custody after a stabbing on Cheshire Drive Wednesday night. Police say 35-year-old Brandon Lee Jacobs stabbed a victim multiple times inside a home, then got in his vehicle and crashed it through the front door, causing further injuries. The victim is in the hospital in stable condition. Jacobs now faces charges of attempted murder and assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill. Over to Carrboro, where officials are still investigating the cause of an apartment fire on Rock Haven Road that damaged 8 units, displaced 17 residents, and left one person with minor injuries around 8 o'clock on Saturday night. Town officials say the building has been deemed uninhabitable, but the fire damage was mostly limited to 2 apartments, and the injured resident luckily did not have to be hospitalized. Total damage about $500,000, though, and the Red Cross is helping displaced residents get relocated. Several local government meetings tonight, beginning in Hillsboro, where board members are slated to approve the town's budget for next year when they meet at 7 o'clock in Town Hall. In Durham, county commissioners are also set to approve their budget tonight, also at 7 p.m. You can get a full rundown of all the local government meetings this week in Orange, Durham, and Chatham counties on our website, chapelboro.com. No meeting this week for Orange County commissioners, but they did meet recently to discuss a possible new ordinance restricting protests on school grounds in response to some Proud Boys demonstrations on school grounds in the last year. 97.9 The Hill's Brian McConnell with more on that.
At the Board of Orange County Commissioners' recent business meeting, a draft ordinance was brought forth that would put regulations around where public protests could be staged near school grounds. If passed, the measure would make any sort of picketing within 1,000 feet of school property or playgrounds during school hours be deemed as trespassing. The draft ordinance says trespassing charges, which is a misdemeanor crime, would be the maximum penalty, while fines or equitable relief are other potential outcomes for offenders. The county commissioners are considering the measure after receiving feedback from school community members earlier this year about protests near schools. Groups gathered at school board meetings, during a high school football game, and sometimes by building entrances during school hours to protest. Chair of the Orange County Commissioners, Renee Price, told 97.9 The Hill that students and teachers alike have since shared those protests made them uncomfortable and even scared while at school. Commissioner Gene Hamilton said during the meeting, the goal of exploring such an ordinance is more about having a safe environment than preventing freedom of speech. And Price agreed.
We're in no way trying to restrict anyone's right to speak, which is why we're only focusing on schools rather than looking at all, you know, public properties and trying to put regulations on time, place, and things like that. But our concern really is the learning environment for our children.
Price said even though she is not a parent herself, she understands the challenges of balancing how school-aged children experience the world. She said the county values providing them places to learn and places to feel safe.
You want to inform them of life, but at the same time, you do want to protect them from things that may be disturbing or cause trauma. And that was the issue that we were really dealing with when we got a report from the school system. They had gotten some statements from some of our young people, and they were very disturbed by some of the things that they had seen and heard. And so that's why we wanted to get this in place.
More recently, student-organized walkouts at schools have been more commonplace. Several high schools and middle schools in Orange, Chatham, and Durham counties experienced students demonstrating to advocate for issues like gun reform and abortion access. According to Orange County's draft ordinance, those student-run protests will still be allowed. there's a provision saying enrolled students at the school in question will not be subject to that same 1,000-foot buffer. Price recalled participating in walkouts herself as a college student. She said she was supportive of the students' recent demonstrations, not only because they were peaceful, but because she sympathizes with their values.
Just because they're young doesn't mean they lack intelligence. And when I look back at some of the papers and tests, you know, that I did when I was in high school, I was like, wow, I knew all of that information. And so, you know, these are young minds that take in a lot of information. They're still trying to process it. And I do believe it, that as long as they are peacefully protesting, you know, if it's a peaceful, organized protest, I think they should be allowed to do so.
Due to a state law, the Orange County commissioners are required to hold a second reading on the draft ordinance before voting on it. The measure will be considered for adoption at the board's next business meeting, Tuesday, June 21st. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
In Raleigh, a federal judge has ordered the state employee health plan to provide medically necessary services for transgender people. U.S. District Judge Loretta Biggs issued the order on Friday. The state health plan had excluded those treatments since 2017, but Biggs ruled that the exclusion was unlawfully biased. Finally, back in Chapel Hill, UNC officials are working with Grubb Properties to establish an innovation hub on East Rosemary Street, where startup businesses can access a variety of services. Chapel Hill Economic Development Director Dwight Bassett says it would be a big step in the town's effort to retain talent that comes out of UNC.
It's a ground seed that we're planting. You know, once we make that mark, we believe that the outgrowth of that is seeing other companies in our region who want to tap our graduates can come and open a small office here, 10, 20,000 square foot, and tap those graduates. But it's more about fostering that innovation that we've been talking about forever. Launch will be moving into the Innovation Hub, be a part of that. Launch is changing their programming format instead of just being cohorts to putting on events and educational events every week. And we think that's going to be a huge component as far as the Innovation Hub goes. And we think it will be a chance for us to do a better job of nurturing businesses that, you know, you can go through Launch or you can go through and participate, get to know our community, but there comes a point where it's time for you to grow and excel, but you're not producing the revenue yet. And we need sort of that stage two space where they can grow a little bit more before they have to go out there and pay market rate for office. And we see this Innovation Hub as a key component of that. And we certainly hope to see that Innovation Hub demand grow so dramatically that UNC and other partners will need to increase that square footage pretty dramatically in the first year to 18 months.
That's Dwight Bassett speaking there on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to the full conversation and read a transcript by visiting our website, chapelboro.com. And head to Chapel Borough for even more local news, including a rundown of the schedule for this year's Eno Fest over 4th of July weekend, plus a story from the Chatham News and Record about how local hemp farmers are reacting to a bill that would legalize medical marijuana in North Carolina. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Franklin Street Realty. It was a great season for UNC baseball, but it ended with disappointment yesterday as the Tar Heels lost their NCAA Super Regional to Arkansas, falling 4-1 on Saturday and then losing 4-3 on Sunday to drop their best of three series. Still an impressive year for the Diamond Heels with a 42-22 record and an ACC title in the books. With a closer look at UNC, 97.9 The Hills, Michael Coe.
The Diamond Heels season came to an end in heartbreaking fashion Sunday, as Carolina fell to Arkansas on a walk-off single in Game 2 of the Super Regionals and lost 4-3. UNC had taken the lead with a run in the top of the ninth, but gave up a pair of runs in the bottom of the inning. After the game, UNC head coach Scott Forbes remained grateful for his team's run down the stretch, taking them from perhaps out of the NCAA tournament altogether to the Super Regional round.
For a group of guys that way back in the preseason, nobody on the outside had expectations or thought that they would get anywhere. They did, and they did get somewhere. They won an ACC championship. They won a regional at Bossemer Stadium, and we just came up a little bit short. But to no surprise, you know, we fought to the end.
The game was twice interrupted by weather delays due to lightning in the area. The delays nearly totaled 3 hours and stopped the game in the third and eighth innings. The Razorbacks, batting as the home team, scored runs in the fourth and fifth innings to take a 2-0 lead, while the Arkansas pitching kept UNC's bats at bay. It looked like Carolina's season might end in sleepy fashion until the top of the seventh, when the Tar Heels played small ball to score 2 runs and tie the game. Mikey Madej and Tomas Frick reached on a single and a hit by pitch before both advancing on a sacrifice bunt by Johnny Castagnazzi. Madej then scored on an RBI groundout, and Frick came in on a wild pitch. UNC's breakthrough came in the top of the ninth, as Frick led off the inning with a double and then scored on a 2-out RBI single from Patrick Alvarez, in for Colby Wilkerson as a defensive replacement. Alvarez's hit gave Carolina its first lead of the Super Regional. Unfortunately, that lead didn't last long, as Arkansas loaded the bases before Davis Palermo recorded a single out in the bottom of the ninth. Palermo was into his fourth inning of work and gave up the tying run on an RBI fielder's choice before being lifted for Caden O'Brien. With one out and the infield in, O'Brien gave up a sharp single into right field, walking the Tar Heels off. Carolina was playing the game without the services of starting third baseman Mack Horvath, who had to be hospitalized for an emergency appendectomy Saturday night. Castagnazzi started at third base in his place.
You know, my heart sank mostly for Mack, obviously in our team, but especially for Mack, because I know I've been in his shoes. I played college baseball. This is what you work for, to play in a game like that, and I know how badly he missed it.
Having just completed his second season as head coach, Forbes reflected back on the 2022 season as a whole. However, he said his strongest memories came away from the diamond.
I've coached a long time, and the relationships are really, that's what it's about, and I firmly believe that the wins will take care of themselves if you build those relationships, so that's what I'll take the most from this team.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Elsewhere, several Tar Heels starred in the NCAA Outdoor Track and Field Tournament last week in Oregon. Grad student Madison Wiltrout led the way, taking third in the nation in women's javelin. And several other Tar Heels earned All-American honors for top 10 finishes, including Alex Osberg in the men's 5,000 meters, Jill Shippey in women's hammer throw, and Anna Kiefer in the women's long jump. Over to men's golf, where UNC just landed a major transfer, two-time All-American Dylan Minetti, who led Pepperdine to a national title in 2021, has announced he's coming to Carolina for his senior year. He's ranked as the 15th best amateur golfer in the world. Up to the pros, the Durham Bulls lost at Memphis yesterday 5-4, dropping their six-game series 4-2. The Bulls are back at home this week, though, hosting Louisville starting tomorrow at 6:35. And in soccer, the NC Courage got their second straight win on Saturday, 3-2 over the Washington Spirit. Courage are back home hosting Houston for a Father's Day game this Sunday at 5.